Hey everybody, we're diving into something pretty big today, Islam.
Yeah.
And I think it's safe to say most people, I'm guessing, don't really know a whole lot about it. You know, just bits and pieces.
A little fuzzy.
Fuzzy, yeah. So we're going to try and clear things up a bit today. Really
Yeah.
explore what Islam is all about.
Right.
Not trying to convert anyone.
Yeah.
Just want to shed some light on this faith that sometimes gets well misunderstood.
Yeah. It really does. It's fascinating how much misinformation there is out there about Islam. We see headlines, we hear sound bites,
Right.
but it's rarely the whole picture.
Exactly. It's like trying to get to know, I don't know, the whole continent of Africa just by looking at one tiny little postcard. So we got
Exactly.
to ditch the stereotypes,
Yeah.
you know, and really get to the heart of it. And maybe the best place to start is with the word itself, Islam. What does that even mean?
Well, word Islam actually translates to submission, which I know that word can sound a bit intense,
Yeah.
but it's really about submitting to God's will,
Yeah.
finding peace in that surrender.
Okay, so more about aligning yourself with a higher power, inner harmony, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and it also encompasses the idea of peace itself.
Makes sense. So monotheistic, right?
One
One God.
God. Just like Christianity and Judaism and
Right.
the word Allah that you often hear,
Right.
that's just the Arabic word for God. It's not a different God or anything.
Same God, different name depending on what language you're speaking.
Got it.
Got it. Now, when we were researching, we kept seeing this term, six articles of faith.
Yeah.
They seem pretty important,
Oh.
like the foundation of Islamic belief.
Absolutely. The cornerstones. You can think of it that way. If you want to understand what it truly means to be Muslim, you have to understand these.
All right. Let's break them down then. What are
Okay.
they?
So, first and foremost, belief in Allah, the one God, the all-powerful creator of everything.
Makes sense. Pretty basic for a monotheistic faith.
Right? And then you have belief in angels, spiritual beings who carry out God's will.
Messengers.
Sort of.
Yeah. You could think of it like that.
Okay, what else? Belief in the holy books, which includes the Torah, the Bible, and the Quran.
Ah, interesting. So it acknowledges those other scriptures,
Yeah.
but the Quran is
A
like
final revelation, the most
the
complete
most
way.
authoritative one.
Exactly,
Right.
right. What's next?
Belief in prophets. The idea that God has sent messengers throughout history to guide humanity.
Including Jesus.
Right.
Yes. Absolutely. Jesus is a very important prophet in Islam, born of the Virgin Mary, performed miracles.
Right.
But Muhammad is considered the final prophet sent to complete God's message.
Okay, so Jesus is key, but not the final word according to Islam. Got it.
Right. And then the last two might be a little less familiar to most people.
Okay.
Number five is belief in the day of judgment. We'll all be held accountable for our actions in this life.
Heavy stuff.
Yeah. And lastly, number six, belief in divine decree, sometimes called fate.
Oh, fate, destiny.
The idea that God has a plan. Everything happens for a reason.
Okay. Big concepts. Judgment, destiny. Not exactly light topics, but also not totally foreign ideas either. I mean, these themes pop up in lots of different religions and philosophies. That's true. Those questions about purpose, morality, the afterlife,
Right.
pretty universal.
Yeah. But I guess what's interesting is while those articles are central to Islam, how they're interpreted and lived out can look pretty different depending on where you are in the world.
You're absolutely right. The Muslim world is incredibly diverse.
And when we say diverse, we mean diverse.
Right.
We're talking about like what? Almost 2 billion people?
Yeah.
A quarter of humanity?
Yeah, it's amazing.
So let's unpack that a little. What are some things that maybe people wouldn't know about, I don't know, the global tapestry of Muslim community? Like, what are we missing?
Well, let me ask you this. When you picture a Muslim in your mind, what do you see?
To be honest, probably someone I don't know from the Middle East, I guess.
Right. It's kind of the default image.
Yeah.
But get this. The largest Muslim population isn't in the Middle East at all.
Really?
Nope, it's in Indonesia.
Indonesia. Wow, I never would have guessed that.
See, it just goes to show how diverse Islam really is.
Right. Geographically, culturally, huge.
Oh, yeah. You've got major Muslim populations in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nigeria, all across Africa, really.
So it's truly a global faith, not tied to one specific region or ethnicity or anything like that.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got this tapestry of cultures, languages, traditions all woven together, but there's got to be something that unifies it all, right?
Of course, the Quran, for one, it's the central text for all Muslims, the word of God as revealed to the Prophet Muhammad,
Okay.
and it's always in Arabic, no matter where you are in the world.
So kind of like how Catholics might use Latin for some prayers, even if they don't speak Latin in everyday life.
Exactly. That's a great analogy.
Cool. So the Quran is one big unifying factor.
Yeah.
What else?
Well, you've also got shared practices like the five daily prayers or the emphasis on charity, which is known as zakat.
Right. Zakat. Giving back to the community, making sure everyone's needs are met.
Exactly. And of course, the major holidays like Ramadan and Eid al-Fitr.
Yeah. Those bring Muslims together all over the world.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's zoom in on the Quran a bit.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly is beyond being the holy book?
Well, it's divided into chapters called surahs.
Surahs.
And each surah is made up of verses. You'll find stories of prophets, instructions for how to pray, reflections on creation, guidance on how to live ethically, laws and principles for society. It's really comprehensive.
So it's like a guide for life.
Yeah.
Not just a rule book or a history book.
Yeah. More than that, it's important to remember that the Quran wasn't revealed all at once.
Right. It was revealed over time.
Exactly. And understanding the historical context in which each verse was revealed can really help you understand the message.
Like with any ancient text, you have to know the world it came from to really grasp it.
Exactly.
Now, when we were researching, we kept seeing this other term too, hadith. What's that all about?
Oh, the hadith? Those are collections of sayings and actions of the Prophet Muhammad.
Okay.
So you can think of them as a companion guide to the Quran. They give you practical examples of how to apply the teachings in your everyday life.
So the Quran's the big picture, and the hadith are like, okay, here's how you actually do this stuff.
Exactly. And both the Quran and the hadith emphasize a lot of the same things. Peace, kindness, justice, caring for others. That's really the core of Islamic teachings.
All right. So starting to get a sense of the moral compass here.
Yeah.
Now, we can't talk about Islam without talking about the five pillars of Islam. They're kind of a big deal, right?
Oh, yeah. Think of the five pillars as the foundational practices of Islam.
Okay.
They're not just empty rituals. They're how Muslims live out their faith.
So what are they?
Okay. The first pillar is the Shahada, the declaration of faith.
Right. Heard of that.
It's a very simple but powerful statement. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. And saying this sincerely, that's what makes someone a Muslim.
It's like a public declaration, a commitment.
You could say that. Next up is Salah, the five daily prayers.
Oh, yeah. The prayers.
Muslims pray at dawn, midday, afternoon, sunset, and night, always facing towards Mecca.
And it's not just, I don't know, standing there thinking good thoughts.
Right.
There are specific movements.
Right.
Recitations.
It's a physical, mental, and spiritual practice all at once.
Okay. What's next?
The third pillar is zakat, which means charity.
Zakat.
Giving a portion of your wealth to those in need. It's a big part of Islamic social responsibility.
Makes sense.
All right.
What's number four?
Number four is Saum, which is fasting during the month of Ramadan.
Ah, Ramadan. Everyone's heard of that, even if they don't know what it is.
Right. Ramadan is the ninth month of the Islamic lunar calendar, and it's a time for intense spiritual reflection and purification.
Yeah.
Muslims abstain from food and drink from dawn until sunset each day.
So it's more than just, I don't know, skipping lunch. It sounds pretty intense.
It is. It's about developing self-discipline, empathy for those who are less fortunate, and strengthening your relationship with God.
Wow. A lot packed into one month.
Right. And of course, there's the breaking of the fast each night called iftar.
Iftar, right.
Which is often a communal event. Lots of good food and celebration.
Sign me up for that part.
Oh, okay.
So four pillars down. What's the last one?
The fifth and final pillar is Hajj, the pilgrimage to Mecca in Saudi Arabia.
Ah, yes. Hajj. I've seen pictures, the huge crowds circling the Kaaba.
That's it. Every Muslim who is physically and financially able is expected to make this pilgrimage at least once in their lifetime.
Powerful stuff. Those five pillars really shows how faith is woven into daily life. But I imagine even with these shared pillars, there's still some room for interpretation and variation in how they're practiced.
Oh, absolutely. Just like there are different denominations in Christianity, there are different schools of thought within Islam, and cultural influences play a role too.
Makes sense. So even within the shared framework,
mm-hmm.
there's space for individual and cultural expression.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is all starting to make a lot more sense, but I'm really curious to learn more about Ramadan specifically. Like, what's it actually like to fast for an entire month? What are the challenges, the rewards? I think a lot of people, when they think of Ramadan, they think of it as like this really strict time. Super serious?
Not necessarily. I mean, yes, it's a time for serious reflection,
yeah.
but it's also a time of joy and celebration. Yeah, it's not just about abstaining from food and drink. It's about spiritual growth. Strengthening your connection with God, strengthening community ties.
Okay, so not just like grumbling stomachs for a whole month.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all. And, You know, when you deliberately deny yourself something as basic as food and water,
right,
it really forces you to confront your desires, your dependence on material comforts.
Yeah, I can see that.
And that struggle, that's where the spiritual enrichment comes in. It helps you develop self-discipline, increases your empathy for those who experience hunger on a regular basis, and ultimately, it deepens your connection with God.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
And the community aspect, that's pretty big during Ramadan, too.
Huge. The breaking of the fast each evening, the iftar.
Iftar.
It often becomes a communal celebration. Families, friends, whole neighborhoods come together to share a meal. Celebrate. It's a time for connection, sharing stories, strengthening those bonds of community.
I love that. Turning a daily ritual into like a social event. That's cool.
Yeah.
And I imagine there are certain foods and traditions associated with Ramadan, too.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's traditional to break the fast with dates and water, just as the Prophet Muhammad did.
Okay.
Simple, refreshing. And then, of course, each culture has its own special dishes, delicacies that are popular during Ramadan.
So within that shared tradition, you still get all that beautiful diversity.
Exactly.
Love it.
Okay.
We can't forget the big celebration at the end, Eid al-Fitr. Tell us about that.
Yes. Eid al-Fitr, which translates to Festival of Breaking the Fast. It marks the end of Ramadan.
Okay.
And it's a time of immense joy and gratitude, lots of special prayers, feasts, gift-giving, new clothes, spending quality time with loved ones.
So to recap, Ramadan is about fasting, spiritual reflection, community building, and defeasting.
That's about right.
We're shattering stereotypes left and right today. But I guess it's unfortunate that Islam, in the media especially, is often portrayed in kind of a negative light.
It is. The focus tends to be on conflict and extremism, which can really fuel a lot of fear and misunderstanding.
Yeah, headlines can do that. But it's so important to remember that those extreme views, they really only represent a tiny fraction of the Muslim population.
Right.
The vast majority of Muslims are peaceful people who simply want to live their lives in accordance with their faith.
Exactly.
And as we've been talking about, those core teachings, they're all about peace.
Justice, compassion.
That's right. The Quran very clearly condemns violence against innocent people.
Okay.
And it emphasizes treating everyone with kindness and respect, regardless of their background or beliefs.
So it seems like there's a real disconnect between what Islam actually teaches and how it's often presented.
There is. Yeah. And that's why these conversations are so important.
Right. We have to go beyond those simplified narratives, the stereotypes, and really engage with the richness and complexity of Islam. Of all faiths, really.
I think so, too.
All right. Before we wrap things up, I want to shift gears for a second and talk about Islam's contributions to the world. I know that Islamic civilization has been super influential in fields like science, art, medicine, and so much more. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a period from roughly the 8th to the 13th centuries, often referred to as the Golden Age of Islam.
The Golden Age of Islam.
Okay, and during this time, Islamic scholars made huge advancements in all sorts of fields. Astronomy, mathematics, medicine, philosophy, architecture, you name it.
Wow, so many. Give us some specifics. Who are some of the big names we should know about?
Well, there's Al-Khwarizmi, who's considered the father of algebra.
Algebra. My high school math teacher is smiling down on us right now.
His work really revolutionized mathematics and laid the groundwork for so many modern scientific fields.
Wow, that's incredible. Who else?
Another one is Ibn Sina, known in the West as Avicenna.
Ibn Sina.
He was a brilliant physician and philosopher, and his medical textbook, The Canon of Medicine, was a standard text in European universities for centuries.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So we're not just talking about a few isolated geniuses here. This was a whole era of flourishing intellectual activity and cultural exchange.
Yeah. It really puts things in perspective.
Right.
When we talk about like the West inheriting knowledge from the East, we're really talking about the contributions of Islamic civilization, among others.
Exactly. And the impact of those contributions, it continues to shape our world today in ways we probably don't even realize.
It's fascinating to think about how interconnected the world has always been, even centuries ago.
Yeah.
Well, this has been an incredible deep dive. I feel like we've only scratched the surface.
Yeah.
But I've learned so much. What do you hope our listeners take away from this conversation?
I hope they come away with a sense of curiosity, a desire to learn more. You know, Islam, like any faith, it's complex, it's multifaceted, and it's crucial to approach it. And really anything we don't fully understand, with curiosity, respect, and a willingness to learn, don't let those quick headlines, those stereotypes, shape your understanding. Dig deeper.
Yeah.
Ask questions. Challenge your own assumptions.
Yeah.
And engage with the richness that Islam has to offer.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, on that note, we'll leave you with this. What sparked your curiosity today? What questions were you walking away with? Take those questions and keep exploring. The world of knowledge is vast and fascinating, especially when we step outside our comfort zones and embrace the unknown. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.